You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Listen on. Listen on. This is the truth of it. Fighting leads to killing. And killing gets to warring. And that was damn near the death of us all. Look at us now. Busted up and everyone talking about hard rain. But we've learned by the dust of them all, Barter Town's learned. Now when men get to fighting, it happens here. And it finishes here. Two men enter, one man leaves.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Your $5 ass down before I make change.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly, think.
You dirt-eating piece of slime. You scum-sucking pig. You son of a motherless goat.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That guy in a little coat.
You stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Whoa, snap, here we go. Welcome to episode 191 of Cinema Crespediso. That's right, you're in episode 191 of Cinema Crespediso. What is up, you mother fathers? I am your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going, guys? Doing my thing, hanging out in the Crespediso studio. We got refrigeration.
We do.
Does that make us an official studio now?
Maybe.
Now that beverages can be stowed cold on site?
I mean, we're still floating in a shack in international waters. It's kind of rough.
I am tired, though, of putting all our beers in plastic bags and hanging them off the bow.
I mean, I
so
agree.
So they get cold in the cold Atlantic Ocean.
I mean, I get that.
And then I pull it out, and then I got it. And then, like, the tip of the can itself tastes all salty and briny and a little Fukushima-y.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Not anymore, though.
Now we have an actual working fridge mm-hmm. on premises.
Now if we can get a working motor on this boat.
And then we can actually get back. But with the dinghy brought us a guest. First, we got there. First, that's my guest, my co-host. First. Take two. First, that's my co-host, Drewster Cogburn. Drewster Rooster.
What up, dude?
How's it going, dude?
It's going, man.
How you doing, man?
Another day.
You were not here for episode 190, but you are
no,
back.
I was not.
You're
yes,
here
I
now.
Am. I am here now.
And we appreciate
I was not here then.
You were sorely missed. Greatly missed. Many, many emails and tweets and Facebook messages about how much you were missed.
If you say so.
I do say so.
I wouldn't know.
Don't ask for evidence.
That's fine.
I deleted it all.
I
couldn't bear to look at it.
That's okay.
To know your great importance to this show and how much without you.
I mean,
I had to get rid of it.
I mean, like I said.
If I was going to move on with my day.
I'm never going to listen to the podcast, though.
That's right. Drew doesn't listen to the podcast, doesn't download, doesn't listen to any podcast. Drew doesn't like podcasting. He doesn't. He thinks talk shows are stupid and it's a waste of time.
Agreed.
And people who listen to talk shows are dumb and have no taste.
Yes.
So, but he loves doing this show and he loves talking to you guys.
And those are my exact words.
Those are his exact words. He says them in his sleep nightly. How do I know? Because I stay at the foot of his bed with a knife and I'm like, I listen to this. This guy is talking shit about what I do. What we do.
You're a weird guy, Chris.
You're a weird guy.
My supporters. Okay, does that not sound like a group of Nazis?
Actually, you know what I thought it was at first until I, you know, listened and it continued on. Was the get on with it and yeah.
Oh, the
get on with it.
The
get on with it.
The move it along. What's that? No, that Chappelle Show skit.
Well, the Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You remember that?
No, I don't.
There was that one particular scene where he's like, which is a lovely scene with some, a smashing scene with some lovely acting.
Get on with
it! And they had like Tim the sorcerer, and he's like, get on with it! And then they show all the townspeople.
I might have that somewhere in one of my many soundboards. I have many soundboards that I don't use. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that voice. You know that voice. If you're a fan of the show, you know who that is. He is from the Pfft Radio Network, host of Tidbits, producer of What's the Fuss, a.k.a. The Rocky and Bullwinkle Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Etchie is here.
And I agree with Drew. Screw those people that listen to podcasts.
Seriously. Yeah, a bunch of fucking lamos, man. Assholes. Bunch of losers.
Look, I don't want you to listen to me. I just want you to go to iTunes, download my episode, and then delete it.
And then rate and review the show 5 stars.
Yeah.
Etchy, I'm just double checking here. You last time you were on was episode 173. Well, 3.5-4 months ago or so. And this will be your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is your 6th appearance.
Wow.
Thank you, sir.
I was wondering, actually.
How many?
I was trying to think, yeah.
I'm trying to keep track. I keep a list, so it looks like this is your 6th appearance. You're up there with one of our most repeated guests, which is great.
Yeah, I'm here to talk more about while you were sleeping.
Hell yeah. Someone's got to do it. If you don't, Etchy.
Who else would?
If you don't.
Sure as hell not going to be me.
No one else will. Guaranteed no one else will. Thank you for coming back. We appreciate it. We're going to have a good time here for episode 191. And we're going to start this episode like we do with all of them with the Netflix pick of the week. So which means I got to hit this button over here.
We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix instant pick of the week. Netflix instant pick of the week. Netflix instant pick of the week.
All right, we got the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. Etchy is using it with Drew Sikogmaren. Drew's just going to make sure the movie's on there, and then he'll give Etchy the thumbs up. Hopefully, the beginning of the month just passed by. That's when they get rid of a lot of movies. That's when things come up. That's when things go down. Drew's giving us a thumbs up. Etchy, please let everyone know, what is this week's Netflix instant pick of the week?
The next pick is Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, shit. Big Trouble. .. That's all I need to know. Starring Kurt Russell.
Yes.
Directed by John Carpenter. Didn't we already just mention John Carpenter in this episode?
I think so.
That was quick.
And didn't we just have a conversation about this movie?
In the other room. Ago? You mentioned John Carpenter also.
In the other room, mentioned John Carpenter. Did we just talk about this movie?
Oh, no. That was Bill. I had a conversation with Bill.
Oh, you're talking to Billy D, our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and John Carpenter fan, Billy D. You can follow him on Twitter at I Love Blood. You guys were talking about Big Trouble in Little China? What were we talking about?
Basically how Kurt Russell in this movie, his character...
What's his name? His name is Jack...
either way.
Jack Burton.
Either way. Like, you follow this movie and...
He's an idiot.
Well, yeah, exactly.
He's
a glorious idiot. But he's supposed to be like the protagonist and the hero.
Yeah.
And not only is he an idiot, but he is an awful hero if you think about
it. Yeah, because he's always fucking things up.
He's
making bad decisions.
Half of the fight scenes, he's either knocked out or wasted.
Yeah,
he's like...
the real hero is his Asian buddy. The guy who helps him out and saves his butt every turn.
Single time.
Yes. 100%. Which is, I think, part of the point of the movie. Maybe part of also why the movie... bombed when it came out.
Did it?
Mid-80s, it did not do well. That and The Thing were both big commercial failures.
I can see why.
And Big Trouble hurts the most because that was one of his forays into big budget studio filmmaking. I think it was Warner Brothers, maybe. They gave him a good amount of money to make a very weird fucking movie. A movie which features a character that is the basis of Mortal Kombat. Raiden with the rice paddy hat and the electricity.
Yeah.
Right? They got that character.
Is that what that hat is called? I never knew.
Well, that's what I call it. I don't think that's what it's called.
No, probably not.
It's probably very racist what it's called. And that Raiden character is based on the electricity shooting character from Big Trouble in Little China.
At this point, I think that hat itself is pretty racist. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, to use that hat, it's like, it just denotes Asian.
Yeah. You may as well just call it a rice paddy hat and be like, that name is racist. No, the whole thing.
The whole thing is racist. With the buck teeth and the slanty eye makeup and like just go over the top with it.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Pencil mustache that like is like 3 feet long.
And you know what? We are talking about mid-80s actually. You called for what it is, Big Trouble in Little China. There are a few things in the movie that are a little racist in terms of Asian portrayals. Yeah, okay, yes, true, thank you. There are things in the movie that are racist in terms of how Asians are portrayed in the movie, and you have to watch it through the prism of knowing, yeah, it's 85.
Yeah.
So even now, the Asians, in many ways, is kind of like the final frontier for casual racism in entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to think on that, but then just like Drew pointed out, our hero, the white guy, Jack Burton, he's a fucking dummy. And if it wasn't for his Asian buddy, the dude, whatever his name is, help him out.
Everybody else would be dead.
Everyone would be dead. Also, it got the movie, the main bad guy, Lo Pan. I think his name in the movie is Lo Pan. He's the dude from, he pops up in everything. The little Chinese guy, little skinny guy, who he's the voice of the dad, of Po's dad in Kung Fu Panda. He's the bird, the noodle cooking.
Yeah, no, I know exactly who you're talking about.
I see his face too. He always plays
the Asian guy.
Yeah, he's always that guy. Yes.
The wise old one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in this movie, he's the fucking bad guy. And he's got like all the crazy makeup and everything, so you don't even recognize him. And he does the things with his fingers, and they shoot the lasers out of their fingers, like the energy or whatever. And at one point, him and the other guy, they shoot like Dragon Ball style energy out of their hands at each other, and they meet in the middle, and then the two energy beams are like samurai fighters, and they have like a samurai fight as they're like pushing the beams back and forth with their hands. It's very anime manga, but you know, 80s, so a little hokey and campy. Even then, also sort of ahead of its time in the way what it's trying to portray cinematically.
Yeah, I'm very tired of hearing about that. It's just such a big stereotype, you know. Asians shooting lasers out of their hands. It's just
the Asian stereotype. Yeah.
It's
Asian.
It's too much.
But it is Dragon
Ball. I know they're
right?
The only ones that can do it. But
making the Kamehamehas and whatnot, it is crazy. Fun, wild movie. I really enjoyed it. And it's got some crazy makeup, some characters. That one guy that like he blows up like a balloon and explodes. Like, what's that all about? That was crazy shit.
This is on the list of like I can't remember. I would say probably even more than once when I've been on here, I've mentioned, you know, and I think everybody has this, but I think I have a lot more, which is movies that people like will name just like, yeah, you know this movie. Like, you know what I mean? It's just
and you're just like,
it's a given.
Something you take for granted that people have seen it. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, I have movies like that.
Like they're staples. Yeah. I have not seen,
haven't seen Big Trouble?
No. See, now I've been meaning to make a list.
You should definitely watch it.
I'm starting the list now.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. It's definitely a good one to get on because I assume you are a fan of John Carpenter movies. Like The Thing. You've seen The Thing?
I have. It's okay.
What about what's another one of his big ones? Halloween.
That I'm a huge, huge fan of.
Okay, and The Thing, Halloween. Starman is one of his early non-horror films.
And the fact that he does the music, like, that's awesome. The
music's great. Mm-hmm. Even something like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which is the non-Mike Myers one. He didn't direct it, he just produced it, but he did the score with his buddy, Alan Howarth. And it's one of his best film scores, hands down, for anything. And it's Halloween 3. That movie sucks.
I was just about to say, how do you do that without Michael Myers? What was that? I mean...
Oh, the idea for Halloween 3 was that Halloween 1 and Halloween 2 was going to be the beginning and end of the Michael Myers story. Halloween 3 was going to start a whole new thing where Halloween movies were going to be like Twilight Zone, where no more Michael Myers. It's just crazy movies that take place around Halloween, the holiday. Mm. So Halloween 4, 5, 6, they would all be a horror story that took place around Halloween. But without Michael Myers.
Okay.
But Halloween 3 Season of the Witch is so bad that then they overcorrected. And when they made Halloween 4, they went back. We're bringing back Michael Myers.
You'd have to. I mean, come on.
Well, now they committed to it. Yeah.
Yeah. How many did they make? 6?
More maybe? No, I think 7. I think they made 7. Okay. And then if you include the Rob Zombie ones, I think it bumps you up to 9.
Nah, I wouldn't include that. Just because it's like a, you know...
It's still Halloween.
But I mean, it's not
officially
like a
licensed
Halloween H2O.
I think John Carpenter Halloween H2O. That's official. That's an official one.
Yeah,
it is. I think John Carpenter is the producer, or at least executive producer. Like, you know, he got paid.
Yeah.
For his movies to get made.
But it almost seems like, I don't know, whenever you had like, you know, Halloween, even H2O, even like, though that wasn't a number, it just seemed like a part of it,
like fan fiction.
Whereas, as opposed to the Rob Zombie one, just seems like a remake. Even though
the first one's a remake for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like just a whole separate track. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, with the Rob Zombie aesthetic. For sure.
No.
John Carpenter has his own thing 100%.
Rob Zombie totally paved the way. I do not understand why Marilyn Manson is not making movies.
Yeah, surprisingly, he must not have an interest in it.
Because
I mean, he could have, if he wanted to, when he was at the height of his popularity, yeah. he could have gotten the money to make a crazy movie.
He could do it now. I mean, think about this. When Rob Zombie made... He must
not have any interest in it.
He has to not have an interest, because there's definitely an interest in him. If he were interested, I think he would have no problem.
Right.
I mean, Rob Zombie was not even close to the height of his popularity when he started his film career.
That's true. Yeah, musically, he was kind of fading.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it still is sort of.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and people, God, whenever you see like anything visual from Marilyn Manson, his music videos,
his stage shows,
album covers, his stage shows, everything, like he's a visual genius.
Very visual artist, much
more so than his music.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, his music is pretty standard stuff. What do you think about it?
I don't like the lyrics. I like the music. I just don't like his lyrics. I think they suck. But
when you listen back to it now, the music is very like
yeah,
nah, 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 very.
I don't know, but
very basic.
I like it a lot. That's the thing. It's frustrating because I disliked his lyrics so much that I can't listen to and enjoy the music part.
But the lyrics were always set apart. He's like, I mean, when he had a song called, with the chorus was like, I am the God of Fuck, you know, that was like standing out from all the Nirvanas and the Pearl Jams of the day.
I think it slips right into Nine Inch Nails territory, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't that sound like something Reznor would have written?
Kind of exists in the same vein there of 90s sort of shock jock culture.
Had that same feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Totally. Big Trouble in China. Guys, watch it. Edgy. Yes. Watch it. It's good.
Yes.
It's good, bro. Watch it and then send us a movie review. Let us know what you think.
And it's short, too. It's only 99 minutes,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's short.
Yeah.
It's a good watch. It's a fun watch. Let's get into that box office recap, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can start the top five.
The top five starts at number 17.
Whoa!
Morgan made $1.96 million.
That's not good.
Morgan.
Yes. The new film from Ridley Scott's son, Luke Scott,
mm.
about a girl who's genetically created in a lab.
Okay.
And she wants to be let outside, but they got her all locked up. So she's getting mad. And what else happened, Drew?
She kills a lot of people.
She kills a lot of people. And then the
she just gets mad. That's it.
She gets mad. So then the company sends their fixer, their risk assessment management specialist, to come and assess the situation and see if the program needs to be shut down, i.e. do they need to kill Morgan, who in the movie is like a teenage girl with a melanin problem.
Ah, okay. Yeah. See, once again...
She's basically a biological robot.
She's a biological robot. Okay. She's a petri dish baby.
Very much reminds me of the robot movie. You know, with God, what was that? I mean, it, very recent. Very,
Ex Machina.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. I liked that movie.
Ex Machina's great.
Yeah.
Ex Machina is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan is not. It is not. We saw this movie yesterday.
Okay.
Drew, what did you think of Morgan?
Like you said, Morgan is not Ex Machina. I mean, it tries to be smart and it tries to be, you know, futuristic slightly out there and like pushing boundaries and it wants to ask questions.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ask any questions.
No.
And it doesn't push any boundaries.
It doesn't develop anything. And it just gives you the very basic setup of the story and then it's just like, that's
there's... I mean, there's a twist, if you could call it that.
Sort of. You can
but
it see
was,
it coming.
They kind of see it coming. Yeah. Within 5 minutes.
Drew kind of saw it coming immediately. I saw it coming towards the end. I was like, yeah, but whatever. I get it. You know, it's no big deal. Yeah. It actually, you know what? If you watch the trailer for this movie,
then you've pretty much seen the movie.
And then
I hate that.
And then you go to the theater and then you just sit down like the last 20 minutes, then you'll get the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
the worst.
I know, and that's the thing with the movie. The situation, the scenario, they set up all these things, but they don't ask any questions about it, they don't explore it, and they don't explore the characters, and as a result, it's kind of a boring movie.
Yeah.
I was kind of ready for it to be over.
Yeah, definitely.
When it was all said
the worst, does it ask questions that are literally like the kind where you... If your friend asked the question, you'd pat him on the head. And
like, good job. Some pretentious, like someone who just heard of Bukowski for the first time and smoked their first joint. And like, oh, I signed up for a philosophy class in college, man.
Exactly.
No, it's not that basic. But you know what? It doesn't even bother going that route. It's just like, here's a scenario. We set it up. And now here's the action and the drama. It's kind of...
And then it's over.
It was pretty empty, actually. It's an empty movie. It's an
who
empty
played Morgan?
Film.
The girl from The Witch.
The Witch. You know the movie The Witch that came out earlier this year? The horror film?
Did not see it.
It's good.
Ooh, I've heard it was good.
It's a very creepy movie. The girl's the lead in that. I don't know her name. She's pretty young. She's a teenager.
Okay.
She's the lead in both. The fixer agent, the risk assessment mm-hmm. person is Kate Mara of the Mara sisters. She was like in the first season of House of Cards. And what else was Kate Mara in? She's been in a bunch of stuff.
I didn't watch House of Cards. This is the one like big Netflix thing I think that I didn't
that
watch.
That first season is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Even the second season is good too.
Second season's pretty good. The show does go downhill though.
Does it?
As time goes on. Who else is recognizable? And Philip Seymour Hoffman. Toby Jones.
Yeah.
The other Truman Capote. Toby Jones is in it as well as Paul Giamatti.
I love Paul Giamatti.
And there's at least
he's
one
not
scene.
In it for long.
Not in it for long, but there is at least one scene with Toby Jones and Paul Giamatti going at it. I was like, ooh, like character actor off. This is great. Like these two short, ugly looking guys who can act their balls off in a scene together. This is cool.
Oddly enough, one of my favorite movies with him in it was is that action movie where like with Clive Owen?
Shoot him up.
Yes, with Clive Owen.
Where
he eats carrots.
Like I said, he played Bugs Bunny.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it was a cartoon action movie.
I loved it.
It's a fun movie.
I loved Paul Giamatti in that, especially with the birthday card.
He's very hammy, very fun. Yeah, he's good. He's good stuff.
Oh, so good.
He's in Morgan. He's not in it for very long, but he's pretty good. But the movie itself is like, nah. Right, Drew? Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And what number was that?
Number 17.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not good. So everyone was like, no, thank you. It's also Labor Day weekend. Historically, the lowest weekends for box office all year long. Labor Day weekend, Super Bowl weekend, and...
so that makes more sense.
Super Bowl weekend makes sense. Well, Labor Day, a lot of people are not... being it's the last weekend of the summer for most of the country, so they're going out... barbecuing, beach stuff. No one's inside of the theater.
Yeah.
As such, movies aren't really programmed to open up big this weekend, right?
Right.
So it's Super Bowl weekend, Labor Day weekend, and the first weekend of December.
Okay.
Those are three weekends studios typically stay away from or dump their movies in. So Morgan is a dump movie, and as you can tell, there's a reason why.
There's a good reason. Okay.
So that's number 17?
Yes.
All right, let's get into the top five, Drew.
Number six. The Light Between Oceans.
The Light Between Oceans.
Made $4.984 million.
Drew, you weren't here last week when I explained that when I hear the title The Light Between Oceans, I think of a Comedy Bang Bang episode of that podcast where the comedian Andy Daly plays a French actor named Jean Pepi. Who was in a movie called The Tears of the Moon.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and in The Tears of the Moon, the Tears of the Moon, it takes place in the time before the oceans. and then the moon cries and the tears become the oceans. So every time I see or read The Light Between Oceans, in my mind, I think of, in a stupid French accent, the time before oceans. and I wish this movie was Jean Pepi's The Tears of the Moon.
But it's not.
Because it probably wouldn't be as sad. The Light Between Oceans is a bummer of a movie, guys.
It's
a total bummer. The main reason I saw it is because it's directed, written, and directed by Derek. I don't know how to say his last name. Cian France. C-I-A-N. France.
Yeah. It means C, I'm in France.
C, I am in France. Drew, you want to take a stab at that one? C-I-A-N France.
Like you said.
Cian France?
Sure.
Cian France?
Sounds about right.
France, like I'm assuming it's like, is this guy from France? Is he European?
Don't know.
Turns out he's a southern gentleman who talks like this. And he's always like, guys, let me tell you about this movie
It's Creole, you know, that's like French roots.
It could be. He could be from Louisiana. He's for sure southern. So anyway, this is his fourth movie. His last one was The Place Beyond the Pines with Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper. Mm. It's been available on HBO for a while. It's an epic movie. He makes movies that are very much about relationships, isolation within relationships, people who are like together but they feel separated, et cetera, stuff like that. This movie is a adaptation of a novel about a lighthouse keeper, 1918. Yeah, he just got out of World War One, 1918. He's applying for a lighthouse keeping position on an island in Australia. And he meets a girl along the way. She's played by Alicia Vikander. And they get married. They move to this island where they're isolated for a while. Mm. They try to have a family, but she has a couple of miscarriages, so they can't have kids. Shortly after that, a boat, rowboat, washes up on shore with a dead body inside and a baby. Baby's still alive.
Mm.
She convinces him to keep the baby so they can raise it as their own.
Which makes sense.
And then like 4 or 5 years go by before they find out whose baby it is. And then it becomes a moral conundrum for the lighthouse keeper, Tom, as to whether or not to keep the baby. The mom, Vikander, the whole time, she's like, we're keeping his baby.
Yeah.
We're keeping his baby.
This is my child.
This is our baby. And Michael Fassbender, Tom, he's like, I don't know. I mean, I feel terrible about this. And the movie's a bummer. It's a bummer because, like, after they get together, it's all nice in the beginning when they get together and they meet, and it's a honeymoonish honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go through the two miscarriages, like, oh, this is very depressing. And then all the stuff with the baby, you're like, oh, this isn't right. This isn't good. And then there's all the fallout from that during the last third half of the movie. Like, oh, none of this is good for anyone. And they even go out of the way to explain how, like, everyone gets fucked in this scenario. I'm like, oh, this sucks. And then when the movie was over, I was like, that was a bummer.
Yeah.
No.
They overdid it.
They overdid it. It has a little bit of hope at the end for the future in a way. There is like something.
Sometimes that's worse when they've already done a horrible job of
it. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I understand why they did it. But yeah, by that point, I was done. I was like, I'm done with this thing. This is too much for me. So I thought it was okay. It looks great. It's very well made. It's well acted. It's a gorgeous movie. It's beautiful to look at. It set out what it did, what it set out to do. It accomplished what it set out to do. I'm okay that I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not upset that I don't feel like I wasted my time.
Right.
It's not that type of thing.
Mm.
I am not going to revisit it.
No.
Anytime soon. So, there you go. The Tears of the Moon.
Fuck that shit. Number 5.
Fuck that shit. The number 5.
How'd you become Japanese all of a sudden?
Oh, no. The Honorable Chris Crespo. That is so racist. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Get your...
We have no
Japanese. Rice patty hat.
We honestly have no Japanese listeners. That reminds me real quick before I forget. That reminds me, because it's the beginning of the month. Mm. Top 10 downloads, guys. I'm going to do this before we get into the actual top 5, apparently.
Okay.
The top 5 yet.
No,
I have the top 10 downloads. I've done this now a couple months in a row. Top 10 downloads for the month of August 2016 in the United States.
From
all everything.
Oh, okay.
Everything all combined. The iTunes, Stitcher, ChrisCrespo.com. It's all there. Obviously, in the U.S., Florida's number one. Obviously. Mm. For states.
So oh, okay.
Florida's number one. Filling out the list. California, Iowa, New Jersey, Texas, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, South Carolina, and Massachusetts.
The Iowa one's confused.
And we're talking about paid, right? Like,
Paid what?
Who's paying? Wait.
No one's paying no one nothing. These are people who download our show.
Most downloaded.
Most downloads for our show.
Oh, your show.
Yeah. Yeah, this is in the middle of nowhere, I know.
See, I was
beginning of the show, but I forgot. But then Drew mentioned Japan. I said, we have no downloads in Japan.
Yeah.
Remember, we do have downloads in these countries, so I want to get this done.
Okay.
Etchy, I'm sorry you're confused. We're going to start this from the beginning. Etchy, these are the top 10 downloads in the United States for Cinema Crespediso.
Okay.
By state.
Yes.
Number one is obviously Florida.
Yeah.
And then number two is California.
Always.
A lot of listeners in California. Shout out to California. Number three, a lot of listeners in Iowa, Drew. I know, it's crazy. Iowa.
It is weird. I get
Really?
Yeah.
Weird states,
so far, this list is very accurate. Yeah.
Number four, New Jersey. Number 5, Texas. Number 6, Georgia. Number 7, Illinois. 8, Maryland. 9, South Carolina. 10, Massachusetts. I know for a fact the next one is New York. New York, get on it. Step it up, New York. Our international audience, obviously, in number 1 is the United States, where it's on international. So after that, after U.S., they lumped the United Kingdom together.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't tell me which country is from there. So sorry, U.K. We don't mean to be dicks about it. You got lumped together. Brexit sucks. After UK is Canada, then France, Australia, Netherlands, Norway, Brazil, India, and then the Republic of Korea.
Brazil,
Japan.
Isn't that always interesting? The international stuff. When I did,
I love it. Awesome.
When we did Echi and Bronco, you know, we were like, we had a bunch of listeners for no reason, like, you know, where you go, what? And Egypt.
There you go, yeah.
And I'm just going, like
what the fuck?
Why?
I got, one time for a little while, I was getting a bunch of downloads in Algeria.
Nice.
And I was like, this is a spam bot or something. This is not right.
Something latched
Someone
on.
Is attacking my show, my website, and they're just downloading the show by accident. No one is listening in Algeria. So there you go, guys. Thanks for downloading. We appreciate it. We'll check out who tops the month of September. If you want to hear your state or country in that top 10, man, you got to share the show with people. Drew, let's get into that top 5 already.
Number 5 this week.
God damn, it took forever.
Sausage Party made $5.3 million.
Sausage Party.
Total 88.
88 million.
Not Have bad. You guys seen it?
Yes.
How was it?
Oh, good. It was fucking hilarious.
Good, because I want to see it.
See
it's
it.
Good.
See it. It's fun. It's thoughtful. It's interesting, but it's also very vulgar and very childish, but very adult minded. It's an interesting movie, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we reviewed it. What episode 188? I think we reviewed it with when Gabe was on the show.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rage Against the Squid. When he was on the show 188, check that out. It's also part of the awesome review on crisscross.com.
Number four, Kubo and the Two Strings.
Kubo.
6.4 for a total of 34.
Kubo is fantastic, guys. I recommend seeing the first chance you get. I saw it last week and reviewed it on last weekend's show. I think it's a fantastic movie. I love it. I think, Drew, like, really, you got to see Kubo, bro.
I know.
It's good stuff.
I know.
Okay.
Coming to number three.
Number three.
Pete's Dragon. Weekend gross, $6.4 million. Oh, total of 64.
64. I think Pete's Dragon should be making a little bit more money. Because it's actually pretty good. I liked it. Drew wasn't too big on it because it was a little too sentimental for him.
Yes.
For me, I was fine with the sentimentality of it all.
Have they recouped? Because I imagine it's expensive.
They have a budget there?
Pete's Dragon, 65.
Really?
Smaller budget movie. All that went into the dragon. All of it.
Of course.
Because the rest of the movie takes place in the woods.
Yeah. Okay. No, that just makes sense. The rest of it wouldn't be expensive at all.
Yeah, the rest of it is very low budget. And then when it comes to even the dragon action, there's like two action scenes. One on the bridge and then the one with the Trunks in there. Mm-hmm. And so, it makes sense that it would be a lower budgeted film. I think it deserves to make more money because it's actually pretty good. It's a very classically well-made film, very formal, great soundtrack, fantastic soundtrack, actually. And we reviewed that one as well a few weeks ago.
Yeah, see, I remember that original cartoon. It was good.
Yeah, the cartoon was good. I think the movie improves.
Yeah?
I think it improves on it.
That's awesome.
If you like the original movie, I think you'll like the new one for sure. Drew.
Coming to number two.
Number two.
Suicide Squad. Made $10 million.
What's up, Squad?
Total of 297.
297 Squad goals, 300 million.
Yep.
That movie is going to make 300 million.
It will.
For sure, domestic.
The fact that it's, gotten so many bad reviews, even though, I think that's part of what's fueling it. People are like, is it that bad? I have to go see it.
Yes, but, it is that bad.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Since it did make that much, do you think there'd be some interest in, basically, the makers being like, well, let's do another one, but let's do it right, because I'm sure the studios will let us because of what it made.
I think Warner Brothers will be fine with doing more of these movies, taking some more risks. Mm-hmm. They're movies that they're making, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, while they're not being critically well-received, while they're being bashed, and they're not, because they're not very good.
They're making money.
They're still making money.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not making as much money as they could. If Batman vs. Superman was actually a good movie, it probably would have made over $1 billion as opposed to just under 900 million. Mm. For us, that kind of difference is like, who cares? So what? That's so little in comparison. That's so much money, right?
Mm-hmm.
To them, though, they just see money left on the table.
Yeah.
So they might be like, no, we need some sort of course correction. It all depends. They have movies in the hopper. They have Wonder Woman coming out next year. They have the Justice League coming out right after that. They have Flash in pre-production and Aquaman in pre-production. So any of those things, if they get scared, they can pull the plug or they can change the direction that those things are going in they actually get in front of the cameras.
None of those sound big enough.
They sound weird.
Wonder Woman?
But the trailers are good, though.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the trailers.
I felt the same way about Wonder Woman, but then she ended up being the best part about Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that because I can't stand Superman, but
well, he's barely in the movie, so.
But I mean, with Wonder Woman, I always felt like even when she became a character, it was almost like, oh, let's make a lady.
I had little interest in Wonder Woman.
She's got a lasso. Who gives a shit?
Exactly. I had little interest in her as a cinematic character for years.
Yeah.
But then she ended up being easily the best part of this movie. She was awesome. I was super impressed. And then the marketing that they put out so far, if you go online, look up the Comic-Con trailer for Wonder Woman, the action is intense. Wow. And then, you mentioned the lasso. I thought the same thing. Lasso is so corny.
The lasso of justice.
But then when she's walking through some bombed out German town and she breaks out that lasso and she starts whooping around tanks and fucking people up and it's glowing all gold and everything else looks like drab and World War One photography and it's really popping out. I was like, actually, that looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's a surprise.
And the other one, Aquaman. I mean,
another one.
More often than not.
Another one that sounds so stupid.
When people mention Aquaman, it's because they're making fun of him.
Yes.
Because he sucks.
But have you seen the new Aquaman? It's Jason Momoa's a big dude. They put out that Justice League trailer where he's standing there and the two waves are, he's drinking and he smashes the bottle and then the two waves hit him and he's just like a giant dude and it's like, they're going out of their way to get away from that joke of Aquaman.
Yeah.
Talks to fish. What's he gonna do? He's gonna tell a couple minnows to nibble your toes if you get near the shoreline. It seems like they're going out of their way to combat that.
Well, the other thing too, I mean, and I know this is bigger, but still, the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Did you know, and I know this is just kind of, you know, just, I'm just talking about like our, like age group.
Yeah.
But still, I do not know one person and did not know one person growing up that had a single Justice League comic.
I had some.
So did I.
Really? Okay. Cause
I had some JLAs.
I mean,
cause they were loosely tied to Superman. I had some that were tied to Superman stories, okay, like the death of Superman, the Doomsday stuff. Some of that stuff bled over into JLA stories, so I got some. I have some of this. We can go. I have some of them right there. I got them right over there in that bin over there, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't love them. I didn't go out of my way to read them.
Yeah.
Justice League wasn't a big thing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody did. Like it.
Same thing with Avengers, though. But also my circles, I didn't roll in comic book heavy circles when I was younger.
Yeah, neither did I. But it's just, I don't know. It's just one of the Flash, like I was like, oh, he's fast. Okay. I mean, he's the best of all those.
Flash is another one that I had no interest in. But then recently I read something. I was like, oh, actually, it's kind of interesting. I don't know. It's just like anything. Like I use this as an example now. When I heard David Fincher was making a movie about the creation of Facebook,
mm-hmm,
I was like, that sounds like the worst fucking movie ever. Why is he wasting 2 years of his life making a movie about fucking Facebook? Boo, boo, boo.
And then we watched it.
And then the movie comes out, I'm like jerking off over it. Oh, it's so good. Oh my God, it's such an amazing movie. It makes me come so hard. So yeah, like we don't really know. We think we know.
But I know. You can always turn
It's all
something.
A bunch of bullshit, bro. All a bunch of bullshit. I just need a drink. I'm out of beer.
Yeah. You can always turn something, you know, like, oh, this movie's about this. And you're like, yeah, that's stupid. And then you see it and you're like, okay, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure, that's always possible. But at the same time, though, as far as like you know, generating a buzz about something,
mm-hmm,
everybody you just named, like the Justice League and the other three, I'm just like, whatever.
Right? They're doing an uphill battle. I agree. They're doing an uphill battle. Yeah, the same way Marvel had to do with Thor and Captain America, and with Captain America, they overcame that. With Thor, I don't think they did. Not yet.
They're working on it.
They're working on it. The next Thor movie sounds very interesting. So yeah, it is. It's a whole thing when you're trying to elevate these B-level, C-level superheroes to your $150 million movies. They did it with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Fucking Ant-Man.
I still haven't seen that, and I want to see it.
That's a fun good movie. That's a fun little movie. You see what I did there, Drew? It's a number one movie of the weekend, Drew. Oh, my God.
And number one this week.
Number one.
Mm.
Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe, bro. Don't do it.
Weekend gross for 15.7, total of 51.
$51 million after 2 weeks. That's pretty damn good for a little horror movie that costs about $9.9 million. I think is the official.
Those are always the best ones.
Those little, yeah, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
I saw this last week. Reviewed it. This has a great buzz.
Mm-hmm.
People liked it quite a bit. When I reviewed it, I felt like I liked it enough. I thought it was good, not great.
Mm-hmm.
Drew just saw it.
I agree.
Drew, let's get yours.
It was good, not great.
What'd you think?
There were things that obviously I saw coming. I mean, it is just a genre movie.
It's a home invasion film, but they flip it in that once the people invade the house, the person who owns the house is the one doing the killing and the stalking and everything, as opposed to the people who broke in.
Kind of reminds me of the, Amityville. You know, because the dad is the one that goes crazy.
Right.
You know, I assume he owns the house.
Yeah. It's sort of that way. What about the ghost?
Yeah.
Same way about the ghost and the bees.
Okay. But the person like goes crazy though?
No, the guy is just
he's
an army vet badass, mm-hmm, who has a secret to hide.
Oh,
so when people break into his house and steal his shit, not only does he want to protect the shit, he has to protect the secret. Which involves not being able to call the cops.
Agreed. Oh, yes. Okay.
That's
it. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good smart setup.
Tons of blow.
Simple setup.
It was. I mean, and the execution was okay. The movie was okay. If you like horror movies, then you'll enjoy this movie.
You just thought, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything except for the turkey baster. They could have just totally left that part out. I would have been okay.
There's
with
a part towards the end, Drew's talking about a turkey baster. It gets kind of harsh, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little hard to sit through. Like, I don't like where this is going.
Somebody gets stuffed.
This is making me. Yeah, someone's about to get stuffed. And then someone does kind of get stuffed. And it's like, yo, I didn't need to see any of this.
Exactly.
They could have found another way around this.
Yeah, they could have just not filmed that part.
Really, okay, without getting into too many specifics, I think we. 2016, I think we are past the point where rape doesn't have to be used as a dramatic device anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hot thing to use. That's a temperamental.
It's not fun to watch.
It's and it's crazy shorthand to be able to use that as shorthand. Like, this person's a bad person. Or what's going on here is bad. Mm. Yeah. Rape has a power move in any way. And this movie kind of does something with that. I don't want to get into the specifics of what it is. Turkey baster's involved. And it's, it's hard to sit through.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't like that part.
Okay. Yeah. I had my fill when it came, after Irreversible. I was like, okay.
Yeah, good. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm good.
What the fuck?
It was interesting.
What the fuck, Gaspar? No. One time the camera doesn't move for 10 minutes is when Monica Bellucci's getting ass raped in an alley. It's horrible, 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 horrible. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
I know. You know what, though? I do have to say, I'm glad I saw it. That part, and even like that part in particular.
I saw Bellucci getting butt raped in an
alley. You know why, though?
Yeah, I want to know why. I don't know why.
No.
Tell me why.
Okay. Is because
explain yourself.
There's a very, and I love it when this is done with just about anything, really, where, you can tell they did it on purpose, where people are used to, okay, if this is going on, this is going to be another 10 seconds of this, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a 7-minute scene or a 10-minute scene.
But the thing
drawn out.
But there's a very clear line where when that rape scene happened, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, other rape scenes that you've seen in movies and stuff where I go, okay, it's right here. It's right here.
As a viewer, you're being let off the hook.
Right. And the thing about that, though, is...
Yes, Bruno was rubbing that, your nose in it.
Yes. But there's something extremely unique about that. And what that is that you don't even know how you're going to react when you have your normal reaction of like, oh, you know, like, not good. I mean, you know, as whatever voyeur, you see in a rape scene.
As a movie voyeur, you're being forced to see something that's like...
Yeah, but when you...
I did not sign up for this.
When you see it past the point you're normally used to seeing it, though...
Yeah.
Your emotions change. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're being forced to process it, to continue to think
continue
about
to
it.
Process it and right. continue to see it.
I want you to think about this rape for the next 3, 4, 5 minutes.
And you're extremely, it's not shocking what I thought or what I felt during that, but like, it was like, wow, I never knew that, because you're always cut away from it.
Sure. It is. Yes, it is very different. And it is the director there, Gaspar Noé, was very purposefully trying to
it's an experience
to provoke you and to make you think about what you're seeing and all the art you see in a different way.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that
and
way,
it works
is
so well.
Effective and wonderful. And as an artist, and that's the statement he's making with his art, I'm not going to second guess it.
Mm-hmm.
That was also like 10 years ago. I'm saying now, 2016, I think we're beyond. Okay, fine. He did that. He did that. Fine. Okay. I think we're now beyond rape as a...
Yeah, that was... So yeah.
Find like, another way.
Wow, that was a very unique experience, but I'm pretty much done with this now.
Yeah, I think we're done. I don't think we need another version of Straw Dogs.
No.
So you think it's okay. I think it's good, but people think it's great for the most part, don't they?
Good for them.
You would say DVD, not theater?
Definitely DVD, not theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, Stephen Lang's awesome.
Stephen Lang is fantastic. He is so good. The old blind guy who's stalking around the house, he's fantastic. I love Stephen Lang. All right, cool.
I mean, that was the entire reason why I wanted to see the movie. Like, Stephen Lang's the blind guy? Okay,
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm in. Sold it for me. Anything else you want to say about Don't Breathe?
No.
You good on that one?
Yep.
All right, there you go. Appreciate that, Drew. That was our top 5. New movies coming out on DVD, guys. We have Billy D reviewed this a while back on his Death at the Movies. English film called The Ones Below. I remember making fun of the title. The Ones Below was such a stupid English title. But I remember him reviewing it saying it was a great movie. So people looking out for that one. The Darkness. Speaking of horror films, another horror movie. This is the one with Kevin Bacon that came out earlier this year.
Hmm.
Where the ghosts were leaving like handprints on everything.
Oh, yeah.
That looked really stupid. Hmm. There were ghosts with like dirty hands. I don't know. I don't know what was so scary about it. Money Monster comes out on DVD, guys. Money Monster. The George Clooney,
okay.
Jodie Foster directed Julia Roberts movie.
Mm.
Yeah, it's okay. It's definitely the other Redbox type film. Now You See Me 2 comes out on DVD. That movie is a hunk of shit.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I mean, I didn't see it, but it sounds like
it is not good. Not good. A Bigger Splash comes out on DVD.
Mm. That movie was good.
Interesting movie.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. But from an Italian filmmaker, I believe, starring Tilda Swinton, Ray Fiennes,
That guy,
and Dakota Fanning. Very sexy, very intriguing, very dramatic film.
And it's funny, watching A Bigger Splash, I saw. Now I understand why she was cast in 50 Shades, even though 50 Shades was the most unsexy movie I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. The girl from 50 Shades of Grey. That movie and her are very unsexy in that movie, but then she's in this movie, like, super sexy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's very weird. Very strange.
Yeah.
A bigger splash. Definitely recommend it, especially if you want to see Ralph Fiennes as the little Fiennes. If you want to see the little Fiennes, check this movie out for sure. Because there's one scene where he's just like, he's having a full on dramatic yell at this guy,
and it's just face, and it's just flopping around. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. And we saw it in a movie theater, so it's like, oh man, that actually doesn't, you know, I would need a big screen like that for people to so they could.
Anyway,
Love and Friendship. This is for the ladies. Love and Friendship comes out on DVD. That's the Kate Beckinsale, Walt Stillman movie. It's Jane Austen. Walt Stillman is the director. This came out earlier this year. Great reviews. It's a comedy of manners. Mm. It's a Jane Austen type thing. Kate Beckinsale, the radiant Kate Beckinsale, in it.
That I haven't seen her in forever.
Yeah, she's
she
popping
still
up.
Looks great.
She looks amazing.
Oh, I'm
and,
sure.
And she's popping up in a few things now. This is one thing where people loved her in it, and it got really strong reviews. So it's on DVD now. Also, for the ladies, maybe for the older ladies listening to the show, like, I don't know, my mom? How's it going, Mom? She doesn't listen to this deep anymore. She used to back in the day, but The Meddler with Susan Sarandon, where she's someone's mom, some lady's mom, and she shows up to town. She moves back to town, and she's, like, meddling with her life and all her friends and everything.
Sweet.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what's on DVD. Guys, Drew is about to tell us what is new in theaters.
The new Thanks movie. From Thanks and Clint Eastwood, Sully.
For a second, I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? The new Thanks movie.
Thanks, T-Hanks, buddy, thanks.
The T-Hanksgiving.
I was confused by the Sully thing. Like, I don't remember that being a huge, like, there was no controversy. Everybody was just like, hey, Sully, you're awesome.
Apparently,
he landed fine and everyone lived. Like, what's the big deal,
apparently,
right?
Clint Eastwood begs to differ.
No, apparently, whoever wrote it begs to differ. If you watch the trailer makes a good case for, no, there's more.
Yeah,
and I can.
There's more
yeah.
that you don't know, and yeah, sure, he landed it fine in the water, and he saved everyone's life. Mm-hmm. But then here's the investigation where they're fucking getting on him, and like, you didn't have to put it in the water. You could have made it to the runway. It's like, no, I couldn't have. And then they're like, well, what were you doing in your past? Blah blah blah. Tell us about this. And it's like, oh, yeah. Shit.
When's the last time you drank?
The untold story of Sully Sullenberger and all that stuff.
And all that happening is believable because you know they would have quite even if like you know nobody thought he did anything wrong. You still have to investigate
all the questions. And everything. Yeah,
I mean that's standard, but I mean also like if he was being like you know if they were like trying to get him on some kind of charges or something like that, the public that would have come out and the public would have gone fucking insane.
Yeah, they would have found more. I think.
Oh, they would have gone nuts.
But who knows? We'll see.
Because he was a hero to everybody.
It's also
else.
A Clint Eastwood movie, so his movies are hit or miss, especially you know in his older age. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. He makes them quick. That's the thing. This last one, American Sniper, was pretty damn good. So, so we'll see with this one. So that's Sully. Anything else coming out?
When the bow breaks.
Oh, how's the rest of that one go?
The cradle will fall.
The cradle will indeed
fall, and that will come, baby.
Cradle I remember I saw this trailer.
It's your nursery rhyme. This is baby dying.
I saw the trailer for this a couple times. It's your classic sort of Fatal Attraction type thing, right?
Okay.
Where it's Morris Chestnut. I think it's like, I don't know, the nanny.
No,
or
the surrogate. She's carrying
the surrogate
his
mom,
child.
That's right. Okay, surrogate mom. Surrogate mom is super hot. And she's like trying to seduce him. And then it's just,
because she's already carrying his child.
Yeah, and it's just that very 90s style, like single white female, those type of movies, you know, very sexy, erotic thriller type of thing, right? Here's the thing, though. Saw this trailer a couple times. The first time I saw this trailer, like, there's a line of dialogue early on in the trailer right away. And then it's like, you know, most like in most trailers, it's 2.5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
For like the first 2 minutes, they tell you what's happening in the movie, like the seduction and the fallout, and he falls for it, and they get together, and then she finds out, and he breaks up. They tell you everything happens in the movie for 2 minutes with no dialogue whatsoever. It's all done with just images and music.
Wow.
And I remember thinking the first time I saw the trailer, like, is this movie a fucking if this ends up being like a silent sort of silent film, like yeah. if there's no dialogue, and is it an hour? If it's 90 minutes of like pantomime and shit, I am there opening fucking day. That is some ballsy shit. And, yeah. then like the last 30 seconds of the trailer, then people started talking, and it broke the spell. I was enchanted by this trailer, and then characters yeah. started talking. I was
this
like,
"Gonna be the next Wall-E."
Yeah, and then, yes. And then I was like, "Oh, it's just another one of these goddamn movies. It's exactly. not special. No. They're all the goddamn same." So I went from being their opening day. So maybe if the reviews are either great enough or bad enough, maybe I'll see it in theaters. But. I just want to talk about the experience I had watching that trailer.
And speaking of the lovely Kate Beckinsale,
the disappointment's real.
Okay, let me tell you about this trailer. I saw it. This is a horror film, yeah. right? In which okay. she moves into a house with like her son and the dad, and like she's getting over an emotional breakdown of some sort. So she's recovering, and
mommy, don't get sick again.
Yeah, mommy, don't get sick. And in this old house, they find a locked room in the middle of the house, and they have like a thing of keys, and they can't unlock it. And she's looking for the key. And at the very end of the trailer, she finds the key and lets herself in. So that's the whole point. Like, what did she find in this room? Mm-hmm. So I remember seeing this trailer in front of like Don't Breathe, I think, and there's a decent amount of people in the theater. Mm-hmm. And she finally unlocks in the trailer. She unlocks the door. She walks into the room, and then it cuts to black, and she's like, "Oh my gosh!" And then the title fades in slowly, and it's revealed that the title is The Disappointments Room, and then everyone in the theater just started laughing.
That's awesome.
They're like, get that out of here. Everyone hated that title, as they should. It's a terrible, terrible title. It's such a bad title. Why would you name your movie The Disappointments Room? You're just setting yourself up for people to write reviews that have disappointment in the title.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Right.
Right? Yep. Else coming out
that room? Particular room was the movie theater.
No. Yes, yes, I was in the disappointments room as this movie unfolded.
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Nothing worth talking about.
Okay, well, Drew, you were not here last week, but no. you were here this week. That means we're going to double up. Instead of getting those 2 cents, I hope you're ready to give us your 4 cents, Drew. Drew, are you ready for 4 cents?
That is almost a nickel,
Drew. Drew, I hope you're ready to give us almost a nickel's worth of free advice. Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Dr. Drew, take it away.
Remember, Chris, when you're at work, if you can't point out who the lazy guy is, it's you. Doctor's out.
Oh, don't be lazy. That was nickels worth, almost nickels worth.
Yeah, nice. I believe that to be true too, because I can always spot the lazy guy. So I know I'm
exactly as long, as, yeah, as, long as you can spot the lazy guy, it's not you.
I'm feeling very secure right now.
If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Correct.
Mm. If those words are ever said to you, you're a piece of shit. But also, the person who said that to you is also a piece of shit. Guys, let's take a break here. Let's take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs. First off, I grabbed a song from the Kubo soundtrack, Kubo and the Two Strings. It's got a Boss soundtrack. It's really good. Mm. So I grabbed the very first song off of that one, and then I grabbed the very last song off the soundtrack for The Light Between Oceans. The Light Between Oceans. I grabbed the last song off the soundtrack for The Tears of the Moon from the the composer Alexander Desplat. He's a great composer. Mm. Beautiful music. Beautiful. It's a beautiful score. It's a beautiful movie. Just made me sad. That's all. Just made me sad. Here you go. Enjoy these songs, guys. We'll be back with the second half of the show. You guys ready for this?
I am.
All right, let's do this.
This is Eric from Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy. Join us every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central on Alt360Radio.com. We're talking news, idiot politicians, movies, TV, Darwin Award nominees, comedy, sports. We're basically two married idiots turning brain thoughts into mouth words. That's Talking Nonsense every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central on Alt360Radio.com. If you missed the show live, grab the podcast at ericandstacyradio.com, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
What's up, guys? We are back. Florida's best movie podcast is back. That's right. You know it. That's true. Not one better than this out there in the state of Florida, I dare say, in the country, because I don't have access to Hollywood, the muckety mucks, to the agents and the actors and the people needing to promote shit. I still do it from the ground up. It's the best there is. Best there is, the best there ever will be. Copyright infringement, Brett Hitman Hart. I love you, Brett. Don't come after me, bro. He's dying of cancer. With me, as always, is Drew Sakagra and Drew.
What up?
And Etchy.
There should be an IPDB.
IPDB is my hip-hop group from the mid-90s. How'd you know about IPDB? The Independent Posse of...
I like to what dig was it? Deep.
DB of Digging Deep.
I like to dig deep. You like to dig deep? Find the earthy stuff.
What are you talking about? The IMDB?
But IPDB.
What's the IPDB?
Internet Podcast Database.
There we go. We need that.
We need that. That's what I'm saying.
Seriously, need 30,000, 40,000 podcasts out there or something like
that? I can't even make a podcast for my network. There's no way I'm going to start that. But I'm just saying, anybody knows how to make websites,
You mean the Pfft Radio Network? Tell us about the Pfft Radio Network, Etchy.
The Pfft Network is actually...
What's that, P and three Fs?
If you... No, it is two Fs. PFFT.
PFFT.
Yep. Is host to Tidbits. That's my show, which I recently had Bill on. Like, I brought him on from What's the Fuss. And we also have What's the Fuss.
Oh, you Bill, Rocky and Bill Winkle.
Yes, Rocky and Bill Winkle.
Yeah.
He's going to love that.
He should love it. That's great.
I know, right?
I understand how they don't do it.
I don't get it. I don't get it
either. I don't know anyone named Rocky. I would almost start thinking about making Drew change his name to Rocky.
I know somebody named Rocky.
And then I'll change my name to Bill. Or we'll get our friend Billy D on the show. We'll just move him down here and he'll be the host.
He knows the same Rocky.
You know the same Rocky? We'll have a spinoff show. We're going to beat him to it. Fuck them. We'll have our own Rocky and Bill Winkle.
And actually, on the last episode, we actually mentioned, too, if you go to the Facebook page of Pfft Network,
Facebook.com/PFFT.
Yeah. Like, if you, like, direct message it or something, you know what I mean? Like, if you're interested in doing a podcast, something like that, like, you know, it's a network. A network doesn't have two arms. It should have more than that, you know.
Sure.
No promises, but, you know, make 15, 20 minute, you know, talking, some kind of demo. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
you're saying it's open call?
Yeah.
Open application?
Yeah.
You want a show? Apply.
Yeah.
For Pfft Radio.
For Pfft Radio. I like that.
Do it. All right, people, do it. So, but do you know what the exact handle is on Facebook then?
I mean, I believe it, wait, what?
If people just search PFFT, it'll come up.
That's the beauty of it is once you do PFFT, like nothing. Much else comes up.
All right. That's good.
Especially on Facebook. That comes up right away.
Okay. Well then people check that. And where else can people find you online on the internet? Is there anything else you want to give away? Twitters, any other information?
Yeah, I do have to tell you actually, if you Google Etchy, all my shit comes up.
E-T-C-H-I-E.
Yes, all on the first page, like my Twitter, which is Etchy, my Facebook, which is Steve Etchy.
Yeah. Instagram.
Thank you. Steve_Etchy. Yeah. I remember the names. I'm like,
they're all different.
Struggling with social network names.
Yeah. Apparently each one is slightly different.
But yeah.
That's why I've got to get them all the same.
That's why I got to get them all the same. Like Drew Sakagra.
Damn straight.
Yeah. Antihero419.
Everywhere.
All over Twitter and Instagram.
The Facebook. The Instagram.
The Facebook.
Every once in a while, Etchy is taken up somewhere.
The Snapchat's the what?
I said every once in a while, Etchy is taken up somewhere.
Just Etchy.
Yeah.
Because it's close to Etch, like sketch, Etch, Etch a sketch.
Yeah.
Etchy, sketchy.
Yeah, but I mean like
sketchy, almost
like
Etchy?
Etch is a common word.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I don't have, like, for instance, I don't have an Xbox anymore, but I have an Xbox One account, or not Xbox gamer tag or whatever.
Yeah.
It had to be Etchy82, the year I was born. Because otherwise, Etchy was taken, and I was like, seriously?
That's weird.
That is weird. That is very weird.
Someone was sketchy Etchy. Someone's like, oh, sketchy was taken. I'll take Etchy.
Maybe it's a fan. I'd like to believe that.
Maybe it was. They beat you to it, and they were hoping you would ask him for it. They were squatting on it for 10 Gs.
Yeah.
People, check out Tidbits.
Yes.
I've been on a few episodes of that. Mm-hmm. So what episode was Drew? Episode 3?
I was going to say, you were the first one.
Drew was
either the second or third.
Mm-hmm. And Drew told a great story about hanging out on a golf course in Sarasota.
Doing awful things.
Doing things that may be out of the statute of limitations.
God, I hope so.
That's possible.
Now that there's evidence,
incriminating confessional evidence.
It's not like they can prove it was me.
I think I admitted to arson in that episode.
There we go. So people, check out that one. Tidbits is good stuff.
No.
Whatever. And all the other, all the other
throw Drewster Cogburn in jail. It's not like he's a real person anymore.
lock up Drewster. I'm starting a new campaign. Fuck yeah. Instead of free movie out of bourgeois, it's lock up Drewster Cogburn.
We'll take pictures of me like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without the handcuffs.
And then we're like,
I'll Photoshop them on.
We need to put handcuffs on. Or it's a game. It's a new internet game where it's like you have to, the mouse is anyway. Okay. So email the show cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, Facebook cinemacrespediso, Instagram cinemacrespediso. And guys, check out all of Betchy's shows. Check out Tidbits for sure. And check out Rocky and Bill Winkle. What's the real name of it?
What's the Fuss?
What's the Fuss? They were like, we know there's a show called WTF. We know it's one of the most popular podcasts in the world. Fuck it. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, Mark Maron sucks.
Yeah, fuck Mark Maron. Who cares that he had the president on his show?
Yeah.
In his garage.
We're going to have, who's the biggest guest they've had so far?
God. Augustus. Augustus Invictus.
Augustus Gloop.
Augustus Invictus.
The libertarian fucking guy running for senator,
yes,
I think. The guy who took peyote in the desert and drank goat's blood.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Dude, he's hilarious. Dude, I love him.
He's one of these motherfuckers that we don't need. That's Florida. We don't need to be like, from Florida, here's a Florida politician who drinks goat's blood and is a goddamn douchebag.
Yeah.
He's also into eugenics.
Uh-huh.
And he's also...
Sort of.
And he's also has connections to white supremacists.
Yeah. Oh, so, no.
I don't care how funny he is. Fuck that guy.
Well, now, very nice guy. No,
nice to you because you're white.
No.
He's sitting around with a bunch of tattooed white guys. He's sitting at home. No. He's like, this is the way America should be.
His entire family is Latin.
Sure it is.
No, it is. His wife's Latino, so are his kids. Well, I mean, a half, I would say.
Half,
I mean,
if he could eugenics that out of them, he would.
No, because that's not... Eugenics isn't about race. Eugenics
is 100% about...
It can be.
It can be. No. Eugenics...
Don't put your arm up like that when you say it can be. Did you see that, Drew? You're lucky this isn't a video podcast.
I just hiled Drew. I apologize. No.
We could have made a horrible triangle of hate there.
No. Eugenics is getting rid of like all the... stuff like
don't make a case for eugenics, Hachi.
Yes, well, it has two sides.
Tell me about the Holocaust didn't happen either.
I was gonna say people think of eugenics as like the Nazi thing. No. Yeah. You just like taking out negative traits, but not races.
Well, oddly enough, eugenics was actually started in Michigan in like the 1915, 1916. Mm-hmm. It's actually an American invention, not a German Nazi one.
USA!
plus, eugenics, I mean, that's like a science, whereas as opposed to let's kill off a race. Like, that's not science. Like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but we could genetically totally, if we wanted to.
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
But I mean, you could use a science as a tool to wipe out that race.
Which
is what Hitler was trying to do.
Well, I was going to say,
trying to get rid of the gays, and the Jews, and the Romas, and the Gypsies, and the Blacks, and the Hispanics.
Try to take out the genes that are, you know, like, that cause disease or something, or some kinds of, you know, like, disorders and whatnot. But it's not like, where's that Jew gene? Oh, there it is. Let's take that out. No.
Yeah.
But it could be. It could be. If you wanted it to be.
Master Race. So the biggest guest that they've had on Rocky and Bill Winkle is the goat blood drinking peyote eating eugenics believing husband of a Latina.
Yeah. He's going to be on next week, actually. Again, for the second time.
So, guys, listen to that show and listen for any racial microaggressions. Listen to what he says. It's codified language. See, he mentions Law and Order. He's going to be joking around, but listen to that show very intently to see what kind of bullshit he's up to.
I'm surprised you, a lot of people haven't heard of him, because...
Because I'm fucking in the know, Etchy. I'm smart. I read things. I found my old SATs. That shit was off the charts, man.
I never took them.
I'm starting to think that I left a lot on the table, so I got them. I'm trying to get it back to get it all together.
I actually fell asleep during a standardized test and never, like, answered any of the questions, and I don't know how...
That's one way to get out of it.
I don't know how I graduated. I have, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't you have to... I don't know, but...
Because they get you out of there.
Okay, cool. Because like I drooled all over the test and people made fun of me when I woke up because apparently I was snoring really loud.
I'm sure. Nice. And no one bothered to wake you up.
No, nobody woke me up.
I just let him. It's better if he doesn't even take the test.
Yeah.
Etchy, we love you, bro. we love you, man. You're an awesome dude. You know, it's standardized testing. That's racist anyway.
Yeah, it is.
It's racist against white people, so don't worry about it. So he's going to be on the next episode of What's the Fuss? That's funny. Yeah, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He is.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. All right, start with some movie news. I want to talk about some movie news stories here real quick. First off, Jon Favreau. Right, he was in the Iron Man. First off, he directed Iron Man and Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is amazing because he was also a great quarterback for...
He was amazing. He did an amazing job, right? He did a great job of starting the MCU, actually. And he doesn't get enough credit, I think, in hindsight, for being the guy to really get that kickstarted in a certain way.
Yeah.
That's been working for them.
Go Packers.
The whole time, Jon Favreau's been also playing Happy Hogan.
Happy Hogan.
Tony Stark's bodyguard. Mm-hmm. Calls Iron Man needs a bodyguard.
All yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. He's in all three Iron Man movies. Just confirmed for sure. He will also be in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Nice.
Yeah.
So he's going to be probably, what, escorting Aunt May to go bang Tony?
Probably. Hot Aunt May. Oh, shit, guys. Drew Sikagrin.
Yeah.
She's not looking good.
You can tell already. It could be a bot, Chris.
That's the thing. At the Tinder, I just swipe. It's a numbers game. Guys, Drew is 11-8 this year.
Mm.
Okay. So you're on the ropes, Drew. You're on the ropes. You lost last time. You lost the game in a tiebreaker.
I think I lost twice in a row.
You're not doing well. Etchy, he's on the ropes.
All right.
All right. This week's game is called Man's Best Friend.
Okay. Dogs.
I tell you the actor. You tell me whether or not that actor starred in a movie with a dog.
Okay. Prominently, right?
Prominently.
Okay.
Prominently. Not a dog appeared in a scene.
Yeah.
This actor was in a movie with a dog.
Okay.
Okay. I got five actors, two groups, A, B. Etchy, you're going first. You want A or B? Choose wisely.
I'll do A.
A, here we go. Was this actor starring in a movie with a dog? Number one, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
No.
Damn it.
No. He did a couple movies with Danny DeVito.
That's probably what I was thinking of.
Number two, Chuck Norris.
No.
The correct answer is yes.
No.
He did a movie called Top Dog where he was a cop parking.
You know what? I remember. I didn't see it, but I remember. Yeah.
I don't.
Number three, Jeff Daniels.
Does a van count?
If a van is your answer, that can be your answer.
Well, you know,
don't fall asleep during this test, Etchy. I'll mark them all X.
I will
make fun of you.
Shit, because I mean, it's not like he was like, you know, had one dog throughout the whole thing, but he was a dog like dog groomer.
But I'm gonna talk about starring like
okay, you know. Like Beethoven or something.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like Beethoven.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no then.
That is correct. He was in a couple movies that featured spiders.
Okay, like obviously you were not counting vans. Okay.
Obviously not. Not talking about Dumb and Dumber. Number four, Jim Belushi.
Yes.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. There's a movie called K-9.
Yeah, I remember.
You got two right and two wrong. Number five, Harrison Ford.
No.
That is correct. Yes. He was in a movie with Wookiees and Ewoks, but no dogs.
You know what's funny about this list is I literally, when you say the name of the actor, I think, how well respected is this actor? No, he did not have a dog.
You would think. But I can think of some pretty respected actors that have been in some horseshit movies with dogs.
That happens. Whole horseshit movies in general. Here we go, Drew. You got 3 out of 5, so you got to get 4 out of 5. You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, Charles Grodin.
Yes.
That's correct. Beethoven, which Etchy mentioned offhand in the last round. Number two, Clint Eastwood.
No.
That is correct. He worked with an orangutan. Number three, Tom Hanks.
Yes.
That's correct. Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was the one I was talking about. A credible
actor. Credible actor.
Yeah.
Number four, Tobey Maguire. That's correct. He was in a movie with a horse.
I was about to say, yeah, it was a horse.
And finally, number five, Sigourney Weaver.
Damn, she's been around for so long. I didn't see a lot of her earlier stuff. No.
That's correct. She did movies with gorillas. Gorillas in the Mist.
Nice.
Drew ran the table on that one. You win. Good job,
myself.
Drew.
I'm back.
12-8 is your new record. Good job, sir. Good job. Sorry, Etchy.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a good showing.
3 out of 5, you turn it on at the end. You're figuring it out there. So John Favreau will be in Spider-Man Homecoming along with...
Doesn't it seem like Schwarzenegger would have a movie?
Seriously?
That's the only reason I said yes.
That's why he was on the list.
Yeah.
In my head, I was answering your questions along with you.
Immediately
when he said Schwarzenegger, in my head I went yes.
Like, yeah. I can answer
Of course, right? Yeah.
But he was not. No, I'm sorry. Them's the breaks. That's how you play Jurassic Park versus the world. Back to movie news. All right, we got the Spider-Man out of the way. Finally, they're doing this in New York City. AMC is breaking this out in all their theaters in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and it's going to start from there. It's going to catch more attraction. I don't understand why it's not the way it is normally across the country, ladies and gentlemen. AMC is doing reserved seating in all their theaters in Manhattan.
Really?
Yes. So when you buy your ticket ahead of time online, you pick your seats. Row C, seats 9 and 10. That way, I don't have to get to the theater 8 hours early to stand in line.
Yeah, but how often do you have to get there?
Opening night? Opening night for Star Wars, I purposefully used the theater downtown, the Cobb, because they have reserved seating.
Okay.
And I was able to, like, movie started at 8 o'clock p.m. Mm. I was able to get there at 7:50. Relaxed.
Nice.
Like, I wasn't in a rush, knowing that my seats were there.
But it's pretty rare, though, that it's a movie like that. You know what I mean? Like,
opening weekend, big movies throughout the whole summer.
And especially...
If you're, like, going on a Friday or Saturday.
And especially in Manhattan, there's surprisingly few theaters in
that
New
makes
York.
Sense.
Yeah, that's another thing. In Manhattan, that's why they're starting in Manhattan. Few theaters, and a lot of them are small because there's not a lot of room in Manhattan. So there's a lot of small, crappy auditoriums.
You gotta build up.
You do. A lot of theaters are. You go inside and then you got to take escalators up, and the theaters are like on levels going up.
I don't imagine to have a theater on top of a theater. Like, there's like all sorts of complications, I'm sure. Like, you know what I mean?
Sound complications and whatnot. Right. And vibrations and such. You must have figured it out by now. But they're doing reserved seating AMC, breaking out in New York City. Hopefully you'll get more across the country because I like that a lot. I think that's the way to go. Mel Gibson. He's on the verge of his comeback.
Okay.
All right. He just directed the movie Hacksaw Ridge, which is coming out this fall. A war film.
From the director of Braveheart.
The trailer says from the director of Braveheart.
And the poster, says from the director of Braveheart and the Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
As opposed to from
Mel Gibson.
It doesn't
say Mel Gibson.
his name is still that toxic, they are afraid.
Yeah.
They're trying to reintroduce him slowly back to American audiences, right? He is working on that Passion of the Christ sequel.
Yeah, which I don't understand what... Is it going to be like
the title?
Easter?
First off, yes.
I mean, I think it's got to be.
Yes, 100%. The title of the movie is The Resurrection.
Okay.
It's not The Passion of Christ 2. The movie will take place directly with the resurrection immediately after.
Mm.
And then that 40 day period. Where he's like,
he's running around.
There's sightings of him. Yeah,
he's like a zombie ghost.
He's undead, so he's like, oh, brains, and then Doubting Thomas is like, I don't know who you are. He's like, stick your fingers in my hands.
He's like, finger my palms, buddy. Do it. Like, you know you wanna.
He's like, stigmata.
I wanna see you lick it.
Yeah,
I wanna see you lick my stigmata.
that whole sequence.
Yeah,
he's making a movie based on that, which is weird. Passion of the Christ, subject matter aside, one of his best films, directorial speaking. Like, technically speaking, is a leap forward from what he was doing before. It's insane how well that movie is, how well it's made, the intensity of it. Some of those, like, the nighttime scenes when Jesus comes across, like, little different forms of the devil and shit, like, whether they're in children or snakes and stuff. It's, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
It made me want to see, like, straight up, like, a real horror film
from
Mel Gibson. Anyway, Mel Gibson's coming back, man.
I want to see him revive Lazarus.
That would have been the first movie.
Oh, no, you're
maybe
right.
They can do a flashback.
Because, I mean, that would be... Yeah.
It would be...
they should.
It would make sense. It would be thematic.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as, like, just seeing how they did it, you know what I mean? Like, cinematically, how they dealt with it, that'd be awesome.
That'd be a powerful moment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys watch the Bill Nye show when you were younger?
Bill
Nye the Science Guy?
Fuck yeah!
Right?
Hell yeah.
That show? Bill Nye's coming back.
He needs to teach the people
the
word of science.
Well, no, he's been doing that for a couple of years now. Like, see him everywhere.
Yeah, he's
getting his new show.
He's got a new show called Bill Nye Saves the World.
He needs to.
And it will be a Netflix show.
Okay.
So Netflix stepping up there.
We just need
Netflix
is
stepping up like millions of dollars into original programming.
We need Bill Nye, Elon Musk, and
Neil deGrasse Tyson to all team up and make a super science force.
There we go. With Stephen Hawking as their as their overseer,
as their gum.
No, Stephen Hawking.
No,
and she's putting his foot down. No, Stephen Hawking.
Fucking excommunicate.
Okay,
that wheelchair-ridden bastard.
Okay, fair enough. I won't even ask why. Sure, I'm just glad that you have you feel so strongly about it, and I'll agree.
That's about a mathematician or physicist or I have very strong opinions.
Cool, totally cool. Well, Bill Nye's getting the show. None of those other people are involved, but maybe they'll guest star. There we go. That's our movie news. Now it is time for Billy D's Death at the Movies.
Yeah.
New York City.
I love a double bass.
Double
bass.
Billy D's Death at the Movies. Oh, shit. I didn't mean to shut that off because I didn't want to. It's not printed out.
I have Billy D's Death at the Movies.
Yeah, I got it. It's okay. It's all right. I'll cut all this out.
He won't, which is the fun part.
Yeah,
I just forwarded it to you via email. Okay. So while Drew opens up his email, I'm gonna be like, hey, you know what? It's time for Billy the Movie. Stop. All right, Dr. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What is up, Billy? It worked. Look at that. I sent him an email.
I had a busy week up here cutting that Ring video. Watch it if you haven't. So I watched a couple new episodes of SVU on Netflix that made me rewatch All Good Things, the Ryan Gosling / Kirsten Dunst movie about Robert Durst.
Oh, yeah. All Good Things. I remember that.
It's very good, and it's directed by the guy who did The Jinx, the documentary series about Durst that got him convicted. It's a slow drama that explores this man's psyche as opposed to merely sensationalizing the crimes. I have a copy, so that's how I watched it. I'd keep my eyes open on the streams. It's a few years old now.
I've seen it pop up on Netflix every now and then.
Billy D.
Thank you, Billy. Follow him on Twitter. I love Blood. All good things. It's a Ryan Gosling movie. I've seen it on Netflix here and there. So keep an eye for it there. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate that. We are actually, I think I said this on the Tidbit Show.
Mm-hmm.
I said this on another podcast, how I've been calling myself the critic of the people.
Yes.
I've been doing that for years since I was on SBK Live. critic of the people, that's me. That's what I'm trying to do. We're trying to bridge that gap between the snooty critics and the dumb mouth-breathing masses, the unwashed masses who need a little bit of Akira Kurosawa in their lives. And I'm just trying to let them know that critics also like to watch old Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
That's what we do here on Cinema Crespity. So this is also the podcast of the people. I've been saying that for years. And to prove that, we came up with the voice of the people. That's the segment.
I like it.
That I call the Vox Populi, which I got the segment there, and it says like this.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox.
That's right. If you send us your emails, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, or tweet us at Crespediso, or Facebook message cinemacrespediso, your movie reviews, topic suggestions, questions, we will read them in this segment no matter what. Also, if you leave us a rating, an iTunes review, we will read that in this segment as well. Etchy, you left one a few months back. We read that on the show. We appreciate it.
Yes.
I left one for Tidbits as well, but if you check, you won't see any of them say by Chris Crespo.
Mm-hmm.
I use a.
Oh, you use
A nom de plume.
A pen name.
I use a nom de plume for my iTunes reviews, but you would notice because it's the one that mentions the bits of Tid.
Okay. Yep.
This is what I talk about. Bits of Tid. That's me. I'm the Bits of Tid. Yeah, that's
I like
me.
It.
So, Drew, why don't you start us off with the iTunes reviews? Because we got a couple new ones.
Actually, I'm going to start off with Facebook because my computer batteries are about to die.
Drew.
It's going to go away.
Making editorial decisions. Boom.
Go. On the fly.
Go, Drew. Go. Paul Heim got at us on Facebook.
What's up, Paul?
I just got to check out Disney's Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book.
Oh, speaking of Jon Favreau.
Good stuff.
I'm convinced nothing in this film was real besides the boy.
That's true.
But everything looked fantastic.
Yeah.
The cast of voice actors were all great choices, from evil Idris to sexy Scarlet, and even the singing Gigantopithecus Christopher Walken.
Oh, you threw a big word out there.
I really wish the talking animals could be put to use in an original story instead of the boring Jungle Book,
true.
One we've all seen too many times.
Yeah.
Will Andy Serkis, the motion picture king, be able to top this overall enjoyable movie? Question mark?
Good question. Andy Serkis, the motion capture maestro who did Gollum.
Uh-huh.
He was at King Kong.
Started his own school.
He started his own production company. He's directing his first directorial movie.
I didn't know that.
Is the Planet of the Apes. Not Planet of the Apes, excuse me. He stars in those movies. Is the Jungle Book movie that he's doing for another studio.
Okay.
Because Jungle Book is in the public domain. The actual Jungle Book. And he's doing his own motion capture.
Still seems like a bad choice when one's recently been...
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it got pushed back a year or two to give it some distance and also to work on the technology.
Wasn't it written by Rudyard Kipling?
Yes.
Rudyard Kipling. So it's Rudyard Kipling's Disney's Jon Favreau's.
Yes. That's true. Book. That's 100% true. Sir Rudyard Kipling. Get it right. Imperialist Sir Rudyard Kipling.
I love Jungle Book.
Another racist. I bet you are.
Oh.
I bet you Augustus Gloop loves Rudyard Kipling.
What's his name?
Yeah, it's weird that they're doing another one, and I'm not looking forward to it because The Jungle Book is a pretty boring story once you've seen it over and over and over again. But the movie, though, is still pretty good. The Jon Favreau one.
Yeah, it was good.
So who knows? Maybe the Andy Serkis one will be dope, too.
Who knows? Cremella Lake got at us on Facebook as well.
What's up, Cremella?
Have you seen the new trailer for Max Steel? Is the Mattel Cinematic Universe the new Marvel Cinematic Universe? And who wins in an Iron Man versus Max Steel versus Steel crossover battle?
Oh my god, Max Steel? Who Steel?
Max Steel.
Versus?
Steel.
Versus?
Iron Man. Because they're all dudes in suits.
Iron Man wins.
Of course.
Iron Man?
I guess. I don't know Steel.
Max Steel is just an Iron Man ripoff.
Steel is Shaq in the Superman suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Steel is just Shaq in a Superman suit.
Yeah,
so okay. I go
in the metal Superman suit.
So yeah, Iron Man wins all day.
Iron Man.
Shaq.
I didn't watch the trailer, but I've seen the articles pop up for his Max Steel movie. That's a toy. I never played with this toy. I don't know what this toy is.
He's got a bitchin' name though.
It is a bitchin' name. Is this a '90s toy? I guess Max Steel.
Don't know. Couldn't tell.
They've been trying to make movies.
Is that with an E?
Is
that with an E on the end?
No.
Steel.
Yep. That's it. Just Steel.
It's Mattel. They've been trying to make a Hot Wheels movie. Mattel makes Hot Wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've been trying to make a Hot Wheels movie for years now.
The twist towards the end would be like the introduction of Micro Machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
Exactly.
And then a really fast song guy comes out.
Yeah.
And he's the
villain. I mean,
and he explains
they've
the
been
plot really
fairly
fast.
Successful with Transformers. That's Hasbro, though.
That's Hasbro. They made 2 G.I. Joe movies as well.
That were awful.
But they still made them. Mattel, the Barbie movies. Does Mattel make Barbie? Who makes the Battleship?
Ugh. I think that's Hasbro as well.
Hasbro.
That is Hasbro, yeah.
Hasbro. So Hasbro's been killing it in the turning toys into movies game, at least in terms of actually getting it done.
Okay, I see Max Steel. Yeah, I recognize that.
You recognize that theme?
Just because, by which Broncos kids. And so I see a lot of...
Okay.
This is a younger thing.
Younger than us.
Oh, much younger.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I otherwise would have no exposure to this. And it's newer, so it's not like when we were kids it was around.
Okay.
Although I also know apparently this movie was shot like 2 years ago.
Oh, gotcha.
And they're just putting the trailers out now for some reason.
Well, that's usually a bad sign.
Usually, not good. Nine times out of ten, and that's a good... thank you, Carmelo. We appreciate it. All right, Drew, can we get those iTunes reviews?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes, we can.
Let's hear people talk some sweet.
Oh, we got 5 out of 5 stars. A fantastic movie podcast by TM Smith 2010.
Nice.
Chris is super committed to the show.
I am.
And it shows.
Yes, it does.
Download and listen now.
Yes, do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, TM Smith.
Yes.
Thank you, dude.
Nice.
And we got a Cinema Crespedizo haiku and review. 5 out of 5 stars.
Bye.
By Scott Spurge on Twitter.
That's our homie Scott.
Nice.
He hits us up every week. He's
so
a good guy.
Here's the haiku and then a review of our show.
Okay.
Chris and Drew talk flicks.
We do.
Insightful, fun, and funny.
Aw.
Subscribe. You're welcome.
Aw, yes.
Nice.
You're welcome. I like that. What a good guy.
Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. Box Office Top 5 or more. Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Crespo Disco. DC vs. the World. Death of the Movies, Fox Populi, Movie News.
Yep.
What's not to life?
To like.
It says life here.
That's my typo.
What's not to like? It's a loose but structured podcast with entertaining talent and excellent production value. If you like movies and appreciate a lively discussion thereof, then you'll enjoy hearing these guys gab. I sure do.
What a nice guy.
Nice.
He's also been sending a lot of Saved by the Bell GIFs on the Twitter.
Because I hit him up 2 weeks ago, and I hit him up. I said on the show when Drew left for New York, I said as long as he's gone.
And he's been doing it for 2 weeks now.
Send him his favorite Saved by the Bell GIFs.
And he's been doing it for 2 weeks now.
Been doing it until you did this episode. He's committed.
He is.
We appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Guys, it's so easy to just go to iTunes, leave a review, and rate us 5 stars. You can rate us 4 stars. My mom rated us 4 stars.
I mean, unless you're me.
No shame in
in
that.
In which case, you rate 5 stars and put a bunch of fucks in it.
And put a bunch of fuck words in there, and then they delete your review, and then they take away your review. It was weird.
Yeah.
Guys, be careful with that. But yeah, please help us out. Review us on iTunes. That helps us out so much. And then we'll read it on the show. So thanks. We appreciate those awesome reviews. Drew, what else we got?
On Twitter.
Hit us up on Twitter.
At Matt Celery got at us.
What's up, Matt Celery? That SBK would call Matt Celery his favorite low-calorie listener. And I want to steal that so bad because it's so funny. I gotta give Kevin his credit.
Top 5 horror films of the last 5 years. Go.
Horror films of the last 5 years.
Top 5.
Favorite ones. Just think of your favorite ones.
The Witch.
The Witch.
The Babadook.
It Follows.
It Follows. The guess isn't really horror, it's more thriller.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller, action-y type thing.
Let's see.
Horror of the last 5 years. Conjuring's good, but I want to put it in my top 5.
I didn't see that nonsense.
Are you big into horror films, Etchy?
Not really into horror movies, that's the problem.
It's kind of, if there were enough good ones, you know what I mean? Like, I like a good one.
Well, you know what? I think in the last 5 years, I mean, anything Benicio del Toro, not Benicio del Toro, Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro, Crimson Peak.
Any of that stuff that he's done, that's horror-ish for the most part.
I would go It Follows, Crimson Peak, the other ones you said.
The Babadook.
Babadook's awesome. Fun. Check that one out. That's on
Witch. The Witch is great.
The Witch is really good. That's on DVD now. Which is a creepy movie.
Like you said.
It's a slow burn, though.
Like you said, I like that.
Follows. Yeah, very slow burn. You got to pay attention to what's going on, but it's very good. It Follows.
It was amazing.
One of my favorites in the last 5 years. Green Room is a thriller,
but it gets
kind of horrific.
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is a fantastic movie.
I love that movie. How about...
That's a weird vampire movie.
Let the Right One In. The original, not the remake.
Older.
No, yeah, Let the Right One In. I was going to say, that was going to be... I would have said that, but I know it's more than five years.
I hit with that 5 year window. Mm-hmm. So I think we came up with a good list there. That's good stuff there. All right, what else we got?
At Rage Against Twit.
What's up, Rage Against Twit?
Conjuring.
Oh, he answered.
Oh, so he answered his top 5.
These are his top 5.
Yeah. Conjuring, As Above, Sea Below, Creep, The Witch, 10 Cloverfield Lane, ?
Yeah, 10 Cloverfield Lane's kind of horror. It's a thriller. Horror thriller. It runs sci-fi. That line. It's that thing. It's running that
Ron out in LA at Noriko 455.
What's up, Ron?
Can you do a Crespo Diso battle? Battle of Ray Fiennes and Liam Neeson.
Okay, Crespo Dome battle. Ray Fiennes versus Liam Neeson. First off, who would win in a fight? No, first off, who's a better actor? Ray Fiennes or Liam Neeson? This one's driving Drew crazy. He's a huge fan of both these guys. He's a huge fan of Ray Fiennes. I'm going to go ahead and get it started just because Drew's thinking. Between Ray Fiennes and Liam Neeson.
Ray Fiennes all the way.
I was going to say, yes, best actor, Ray Fiennes.
All the way.
He's a fan. English Patient, man.
Just the range.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
From the Grand Budapest Hotel to...
In Bruges
to... He was fucking Voldemort. He was Voldemort.
He was just in a bigger splash. He's fantastic in that.
I was just confirming that he was Voldemort.
Ray Fiennes is fucking Voldemort, dude.
Liam Neeson's great, but Ray Fiennes...
He's not Ray Fiennes.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you. He's a better actor. What do you think, Etchy?
It's hard to tell because they both have the same...
They're pretty similar.
Yeah. They both have the same kind of advantage in that they can play a mild-mannered person or a badass.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They do them both well.
And do both very well.
Yeah.
I'll go Liam Neeson.
You're going to break it up. Yeah. Liam Neeson, I like it.
Got to do it.
And now who would win in a fight?
Dude, I don't know.
Liam Neeson's older.
Seeing a bigger splash, Ray Fiennes is fucking jacked,
He's in shape for an older gentleman, but Liam Neeson's been doing these action movies.
But
he can fake fight.
Also, though, like Liam Neeson, like he started, like you know, becoming like an action star,
at a very old
age. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, though.
And I think
Ray Fiennes doesn't really do the action.
No,
but he's jacked.
He looks.
He's in shape, though.
He looks like he's more in shape and would be better.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Liam Neeson because of that onset training.
I'm going to go with Ray.
That's true.
I'm going to go with Ralph Fiennes because
he's in better shape.
Well, that
younger.
He seems like a perfect gentleman that would probably, he probably fights dirty as hell. Probably. Like he probably bites and claws at your eyes and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like, you know, groin stuff and whatnot. Yeah, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. What do you say, Itchy?
I mean, he's pretty crazy in Coriolanus. He got, I mean, he fucking fought the shit out of 300, dude.
That's true. Him and Drobar have a fight in Coriolanus. That's true.
It depends on how much onset, like, learning onset fighting can do. Because, like, I know you got to learn something.
He did three taken movies,
But do you learn a lot?
He learns how to handle weapons and throw a punch.
He learned how to fight CG wolves.
He learned how to fight CG wolves. He learned how to fake fall.
That's true. That is a common danger.
So, it is.
Especially when he's fighting where he finds. Because he bring CG wolves with him into battle.
Who rides them into battle?
We need an answer, Etchie. We need an answer.
I'm gonna say Liam Neeson, just because I don't know if Ralph Fiennes has any training whatsoever.
That's fair enough. Right. True. What was the last time? What was that Avengers movie in the 90s? That was a long time.
Yeah. I mean, if I took a karate class for 6 weeks, I would be able to kick my own ass like
probably. From 6 weeks before.
From 6 weeks before.
Yeah. Time travel you. Time travel future you with 6 weeks of karate training would beat present you.
Just don't know if I would kick my own ass.
Also, you don't know.
I'd be like.
You also don't know if you would survive that time travel trip.
That's true.
You might be torn apart.
Yeah. And then what happened if you made contact? I mean, would it be Time Cop style where, you know,
you make contact that it's a war? Is that a bunch of bullshit? You just knock yourself out and then the butterfly effect, you change.
Oh.
Guys. is that it for the Vox Poppy line?
No.
What else we got?
We have an email from at Rage Against Twitch.
Our homeboy. Let's hear it.
Entitled, I Went Streaking. Redbox movie streaking, that is.
Nice. Here we go.
He's got a Hardcore Henry review.
Hardcore Henry. Let's hear it.
Very fun. Funny, action-packed, parkour crazy, video game-style movie.
Yeah.
It's cyclical in its stop-start and the graphic nature of the violence, but the main story is a bit lackluster, although it tries to twist you at the end. The basic story, to give you an ambitious POV movie with tons of guns, explosions, vehicle crashes, grenades, helicopters, and motorcycles. I enjoyed Jimmy the most. Also, The Foley. Look that up, kids.
The Foley!
This movie should soothe the Cheeto Dust-fingered Mountain Dew drinking 12-year-old inside of you.
Nice.
Valiant and solid entertainment.
Word.
He's got a Batman Killing Joke review.
Oh, the animated Batman Killing Joke. All right, let's hear it.
It turned out better than I expected.
Okay.
The animation was nice, but I was bothered by how the Joker was drawn. Something about it didn't fit in cohesively.
Okay.
I heard people had problems with the first half. Not canon, apparently. And I enjoyed it, and I thought it gave Barbara Gordon more shine before she disappeared from what Killing Joke is really about.
Mm-hmm.
Joker and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Stays true to the novel and fills in some things that the reading doesn't. Awesome to hear Conroy and Hamill back together again, because 2016 has been awful to celebrities we love. Batman, fans of Batman should check it out. It's the Joker origin story.
Joker origin, that's true.
He's got a Keanu review.
Keanu is, I think it's funny. Here we go.
Drawn out, very specific style of Key and Peele, kinda runs long. Some parts are satirical, some parts are laugh out loud funny, acted well, but kinda flat. They excel on TV, but this seems like an overreach. It was entertaining enough and fair first showing for a full production. I'd say watch it if it's your paid streaming, but nothing that's going to blow your mind.
Fair enough. I liked it. I think the cat movie was quite fun. The Key and Peele movie with the cat.
I enjoyed it. That's one. It's on my list.
Yeah, now that it's on for like streaming and DVD and stuff.
It is? It's what, streaming?
On demand.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's out there. It's out there.
Like the paid for streaming thing.
Yeah, but you can figure it out.
And Jungle Book review.
Jungle Book, here we go.
Well, actually, I mean, he's got a Keanu review, so Keanu came out on Redbox.
Yeah, it is.
That's how.
Yeah, that's right. All these movies are on Redbox. Yes. That's true. He pointed that out. All these movies are on Redbox.
The original is one of my faves, so I expected a lot. The environment is gorgeous and immersive. When the animals were still or moved slightly, it's convincingly real.
Yeah. The animals look incredible, Etchy.
Especially the hair.
Oh my god. It's crazy. And the way they move around and shit.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Would have loved to watch this on the big screen. I can imagine it to be comparable to Avatar in many ways. I really enjoyed Bagheera's and Shere Khan's design, animation. The casting was spot on. Idris Elba might be more badass than George Sanders, although his voice is epic. The first song was okay, but the second was kind of awkward and pulled me out of the story. While I get the nod and performed well, maybe one song too many. A great live action pairing with the original animation. Thumbs up.
I would agree with the one song too many. I didn't need too much music. I don't like musicals.
Though, I mean,
neither do I. That's the thing. Yeah.
But it's based on a Disney animated film. All those Disney animated films got songs in them for the kids.
And that stuff is actually what helps separate the Disney Jungle Book from your standard Rudyard Kipling Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. With what the Andy Serkis is doing in a couple of years.
So. Yeah.
Anything else there, Vox Populi?
No, sir.
We're done with that. All right, guys, we appreciate it. Brings us towards the end of the show, which means, Etchy, lightning round time, sir. That's not the button. I meant to hit this button.
We give you the question. Right. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Okay. All right, here we go. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready, Etchy?
Okay.
We've done this before. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one. Where are all the missing ends of all those rainbows?
Ends? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the ends of the rainbows. Where are they, man?
Narnia.
Number two, why make so many statues without arms or heads?
Because they come alive at night.
Ah, number three, is space really the final frontier?
Probably.
Number four, have you ever researched cheese?
Yes.
Number five... What does it take to change the essence of a man?
The vagina of a woman.
Number six, Crest or Colgate?
Crest.
Number seven, if Hooters is a restaurant, then what is Dick's Sporting Goods?
A place for jocks.
Number eight, will you march north with me to Havana?
Absolutely.
Number nine, Sugar Ray or Death Ray?
Death Ray.
Number 10, Godzilla, King Kong, Richard, Milhouse, Nixon. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Nixon.
Nixon gets out of there.
Yeah.
Etchies. Here we go. Swag baggery. Look at that. We got the red bag. We got the blue bag. We got the flowery bag with the polka dots. Which one of those three bags?
Polka dots.
You want the polka dots. Let's break out the polka dots one. Let's see what we have inside there that you may maybe get to go home with today.
Chris, Etchy may get to go home with a Suicide Squad puzzle. Experience it in the IMAX 3D.
Look at that. It's actually relevant to movies we were talking about.
Yes. A DVD copy of Raising Arizona starring Nicolas Cage and Holly Hunter.
It's been so long.
It's actually a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
A plush donut.
You can sit on it.
Oh my God.
A Cinema Crespediso official bootleg edition of Green Zone.
Nice. That's
really weird because I have a Crespediso version of Green Mile.
And a plethora of stickers. You've got some Obey Giant stickers. Look, you've got stickers. FilmFlorida.org sticker, Crespediso stickers. You got a bunch of stickers.
Whole bunch of stickers, buddy.
Nice.
That bag is packed with shit. Do you want what's in that bag? Or, you know how this goes, man.
Yes.
We put those bags away and you take what Drew has in the bag right over here.
Box.
Hey, man, what's in the box? I was looking through multiple things. Etchy.
I really wanted to take the box, but I want that donut.
You want that donut? You want the donut? He's taking the bag?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's from The Simpsons, right?
Let's do it. I don't think technically, I don't think officially it is Simpsons, but it is a pink donut.
Yeah, I think it's sprinkles and stuff. Yeah,
I think it's kind of a knockoff, but you know, we all know.
And it's Raising Arizona.
And it's Raising Arizona. And it's a bunch of stickers. And there you go. All right.
Yes.
And the puzzle. And the Suicide Squad puzzle.
The Suicide Squad puzzle.
Something to actually do. Thanks for coming on, Etchy. We appreciate
it.
Thank you so much, bro.
This is my favorite podcast to come on.
Oh, what a guy! What a nice guy! We appreciate it. Drew, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, and we are out of here, so remember to read more books, rate us on iTunes, break up the big banks, put your money under mattresses, free Mumia Abu-Jamal, lock up Juicy Cogburn, and go get yourself some fried foods, and don't let them vegans tell you what to do. We are out of here.
He's the only movie critic we know. And besides, he works cheap. Let's talk movies with resident movie critic Chris Crespo.
Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kurt, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. You know, just trying to stay dry. Actually, when I was heading into the station, it wasn't raining at all. I have a feeling the lion's share of it's going to hit after midnight, but other case, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's still the worst, so to speak, is still to come, but not for us, though. We're on the bottom. We're getting the speeder bands. We're just going to get some rain for a couple of days. It's Pensacola that's going to get it. Ooh, Nelly, they weren't expecting a hurricane the other day.
No. But, yeah.
That's your criticism. That's Hurricane Weather Report. Hope that helps you out wherever you are listening right now. That's what we do. That's what we do here. We provide top-notch services.
He's up there in the copter. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. So what's new in the world of movies?
Have you heard any buzz about this Don't Breathe movie?
Don't Breathe movie, no.
It's been kind of popping a lot online. It just came out this past weekend. It's a horror film. I may have talked about it on your show a couple weeks ago. It's a horror film in which a more like a thriller, suspense thriller type of thing, where some dudes, some young guys, three young people, they and an old blind guy to rob his house because they hear he has money in the house. Turns out this dude's like an old army vet, got some skills, he can protect himself, and then he does so, and then like the people are like trapped in the house, and he's like chasing them down and stuff. So it's kind of like a cat and mouse.
He's actually blind though.
Yeah, he's blind. He's been blind for like 20 years. So sound design is very important in the movie. So like there's a lot of moments, a lot of scenes where characters are like being very still. So the soundtrack is very quiet. And anytime someone the creaking board, a floorboard or something gives them away. And then the guy, you know, he's using that like a bat. He's like a bat.
Right. Echolocation.
Plus he's also in his own house. So he knows the place, with his eyes closed. Right. You know, I mean, as well as anyone, so these guys who just broke into it. So it's an interesting, pretty tense movie. I really enjoyed it. It's one of those things where I feel like people online really, really like it. This happened a few years ago with The Conjuring when that one came out.
Right.
People loved that movie, and I saw it. I was like, it's good, not great. It didn't blow me away, but all the people were like, whoa, that was so good. And I feel like this is kind of the same thing where people are like reacting like really strongly to it, which it surprised me. I just that's interesting. Okay. This is what the people are reacting to right now. But for the most part, I thought it was very solid, very, very good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what the budget was like on this?
I think it was like $9.9 million, if I remember correctly. It was literally just under $10 million. And it had an opening weekend of, like $30 million, something like that. Maybe a little less, but still, for movies like this that are so low budget, you know, they shot it in, like, Hungary, you know,
right, to
save money. There's no, like, real movie stars in it, that type of thing. It's really the movie, so.
It sounds like it was mostly filmed in a home, one home.
I would say like 80% of the movie takes place in one home. The story takes place in Detroit, in rundown. It's one of these movies that's like all about, not all about, but the setting is like economically depressed America, you know, like post 2007, 2008 market crash America. There's a few movies like that kind of take that aesthetic and use that to flavor their movies. So that's part of that genre. And so it's supposed to take place in some of the rundown neighborhoods in Detroit where like this guy, he is the last holdout. He's the last one to remain the old neighborhood. Everyone else moved away. So that's why if there's a gunshot or people are screaming, there's no one to hear because they've established that there are no neighbors for like four blocks and any direction. What they thought made it the perfect place to rob ended up making it like the perfect place to kind of like fortify and hide out in.
Right.
And, it's an interesting movie. I mean, it definitely gives you something to think about and talk about, and it's effective at what it does. There's a few twists and turns in there for sure, that a couple things that happened that made me smile, like, oh, that's crazy. Like, I wasn't expecting that to happen. And then there's a part towards the end where I feel like, I don't know, I feel like this is going too far. I wasn't expecting this type of, I don't want to say exactly what it is, but So for those reasons, no, I have to give it a very measured, like, it's good. It's good, not great type of review.
Okay. All right.
But people are loving it, though. It's popping. It's popping, Kurt. But I'd recommend, you know, I don't know if you're really into those kind of movies. The horror film, but not like, there's really no blood. Is there blood? A little bit. I mean, it's more about the suspense of it and the cat and mouse chase aspect of the movie, you know?
Right, right.
Oh, there are a few. Anyway.
I like those suspenseful films. I like them.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Dustin Hoffman movie Straw Dogs?
No. Is that Sam Peckinpah?
Yes.
Okay, I think I might have seen it when I was younger, but
it is an older film, absolutely. But it has the same kind of like it's the one, the home invasion film. He's protecting his house from the local rednecks, the UK rednecks, wherever it takes place.
Right,
And so it has the same kind of that home invasion. They're trying to get in vibe, or it's more about the horror. It's more about the horrible thing that could happen as opposed to it actually happening. You know, the build up, the anticipation, the that kind of stuff. It's right. In that genre. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So any kids out there listening, you should check out Straw Dogs, the original, not the one with Cyclops, the one with Mr. Mercurium's one before him in it.
All right, we're moving on.
Next movie. I saw another movie that was fantastic. I'm a week behind on it, but still, I saw it a week late, and it's still great, so I got to tell everyone to check out Kubo and the Two Strings, the stop-motion animated film, family movie, I guess you can say, that's playing now, and it's pretty fantastic. It's like a really nice, really good story, really good action. It looks wonderful. Like, it's beautiful to look at. Stop-motion itself is, you get one or two of these movies a year, so at the most, if you're lucky. And this one is great, I gotta say. I really was really impressed with it.
Do they have a decent musical soundtrack with it, too?
I think the soundtrack is amazing. Funny that you bring that up, Kirk. The whole Two Strings thing is that one of the main elements in the movie is they use this kind of... It's not a guitar. I'm sure it has a very specific name, but it's a three-stringed sort of banjo, sitar sort of thing. And then when they play, when this kid plays it, like, magical things happen, kind of like in a magical realism type of way.
Right.
So him playing the instrument features very heavily in the soundtrack, so it's very cool, that type of music. That reminds me of a lot of stuff. That made me think immediately of certain scenes in Kung Fu Hustle, where one of the bad guys used, like, that lap guitar thing to he would play music, and then he would send out, like, ghost swords with his instrument. It reminded me a lot of that scene. It was very cool. So there's that, and then actually the very, very end of the movie, the closing credits of it, during the closing credits, there's a very cool cover of George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Wow. Who's doing the cover?
Her name is Regina Spektor.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the guitar, like the music of it, it fits right in with the style of the soundtrack of the movie that came before it. So it's actually when it pops up in the movie at the very end during the credits, it's like a stunningly well placed of that song, because the movie itself, while it's great and it's got action and comedy and stuff, it also has, like, you know, it dares to be melancholy at times. Right. And it's a thoughtful, emotional movie, and I think it earned the right to have that cover playing at the end. I thought to have that song playing, it was good.
Very good. Very cool.
So I'll definitely check out. I recommend checking out the soundtrack and checking out that movie. Mm-hmm. And if you're into, like, horror, thrillers, suspense stuff, Don't Breathe. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Definitely would be worth checking out, I'd say. So those are movies that I saw.
Before I let you go, Chris. I'm told there's a movie called, it's a guy's name. Starts with an M.
Morgan.
Yeah.
I think it's a girl's name, technically.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just saying, I'm sorry.
Well, Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman, then you got Morgan Fairchild. And,
exactly. I think that's part of the thing. I think it's an androgynous sort of situation where Morgan is kind of because Morgan in the movie, according to the trailers anyway, is some sort of genetic experiment. Like the scientist characters refer to Morgan as it, as opposed to he, she, because it's something that they grew in a lab, as opposed to was born au naturel. You see kids want a mommy and a daddy love. Anyway, you should ask your parents about how that happens, and they'll work it out. We don't have the time to get excited right now.
That's right.
But yeah, Morgan, the sci-fi movie, I've seen the trailer a few times. It looks pretty good. The thing that intrigues me the most, actually, is that it is directed by Luke Scott. And I saw in the trailer it said Scott Free Pictures, which is Ridley Scott's production company. Ridley Scott? Of course, yes. It's Ridley Scott's son, Luke Scott.
Oh, okay. It's taking on, going in dad's family business.
Yes. It's the next generation of a family filmmaker. Many other family filmmakers have done it before. So I'm interested in seeing how good it is, seeing what it's like. Because, I mean, Ridley himself, he is pushing 80, I think. Maybe even the 81 is possible.
It doesn't seem like he'd be that old.
He did start in the 70s when he made the first Alien in 78, 79. He was 40.
Okay. All right.
Because he already, by that point, had already had like a 15, 20 years, very successful career making commercials.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah. So it's been a while. Been a while. So, he's like 81 and he's finishing up his next Alien Prometheus movie. He's plans on making like one, two more of those. He's, I think he's doing some producing, at least, or executive producing on the Blade Runner sequel. Yeah, he has been working on that. He's not directing it, but he's been producing it. He's a busy guy, but he can't keep going, man. And, we need a Luke Scott to pick up that banner and keep running with it and make more hit or miss movies for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, some more hit or miss.
He was guessing.
I was going to say, you said make more hit or miss. I said, yeah, keep us guessing. So.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that is what he does. That is what really said. You think it's going to be one of the good ones? Oh, he tricked you.
Yeah. Well, Chris, let folks know about Cinema Crespedizo. You have a great podcast.
Thank you.
People who love film, film enthusiasts, whether you like, behind-the-scenes stuff, like I asked earlier how much the movie costs. Lots of factoids, lots of fun on that show. Cinema Crespedizo is recorded on location in Orlando every Sunday and usually given to the masses by Sunday evening. Tell them how they can find out more about it.
Yes, thank you, Kurt, for that wonderful lead-up. Cinema Crespedizo is available on chriscresp.com. That's my website. It's easy. Or if you're into Stitcher Radio, I don't know why, but if you are, we're easily accessible on there. Cinema Crespedizo. We're on iTunes. You can rate us. Check out our reviews on iTunes. We got a couple new reviews. Someone just left us a review, haiku review on iTunes. I'm going to read it to you, Kurt.
Right, let's hear it.
It's a haiku. Chris and Drew talk flicks. Insightful, funny, and funny. Subscribe. You're welcome. That's from Spot Scourge. Just wrote that on August 29, 2016. You can see that on iTunes as well as other reviews. Yeah, check out the show, Kurt. we're going to be having you on hopefully pretty soon, an October show maybe?
Yeah, let's do it October. That's my birthday month.
Oh, perfect. There'll be birthday month celebration. We'll get some pumpkin spice something going on. Yeah. And we'll talk about John Carpenter movies. It'll be a blast.
All right. Sounds good to me. Chris, appreciate you, your input and your segment every Thursday night. That's Chris Crespo here on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. ChrisCrespo.com is the website. And Cinema Crespedizo is his podcast. We'll have some more when we come back. I have a trivia question coming up. And right now, Shakedown at the Majestic. This is their single, In Control. Brand new music here at WPRK, Winter Park, Florida.